Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Of our church, God's church, Grace Tabernacle, is to take us all deeper in a walk with the Lord that we wouldn't get there on our own. We can, you know, there are times we muster up the faith to say, you know, Lord, I'll step out of the boat and like Peter walk on the water. But there's probably more times than we care to admit that there's really most of the time we wouldn't go there unless God hadn't set us up, you know, to get us in a place where we'll go into a deeper walk with the Lord, a greater, deeper prayer life and things. And I just think that God has you and I here for such a time as this, to get us to go into deeper water like this beautiful song. And it's scary at times. It's risky. It's messy looking. And sometimes, you know, you just don't know. How do I know this is the Lordly? We have to trust God. We have to say, God, take me into deeper waters where I can't understand. I don't understand, but I will take me into deeper areas. And I think today God wants to do that. I know He does. It's just saying, I don't think. I know God is saying, this is a day I'm going to. But not everybody wants to go. That's just the honest truth. A lot of people just don't want to go. And sometimes I don't want to go. I'm scared. And I know that God's saying, I'm going to take you into deeper waters today. And all you have to do is be willing. Say, I won't lead you astray. You don't have to fear a counterfeit. You don't have to fear error. You don't have to fear. Just let me lead you. Just let me lead you. So, Lord, how will I know you're leading me? You'll just know, because you know the voice of the Lord. You'll know God nudges you to do something that may be out of character for you, you know. And sometimes you don't know until after the fact, you know, wow, God really did lead me. You know, at that moment I wasn't 100% sure, but now as I look back, I see that God, he sovereignly ordained my steps. And I'm doing my very best to be sensitive to the awareness of what God wants to do right now. And I just want you to be prepared. You know, we've sang a lot of worship songs. You could have worshiped during that time, and hopefully you did. But you really need to come into a greater awareness right now of the presence of the Lord. What's God saying to you? What's God doing to you? And what He's about to do. So you just really need to get ready. You know, it's like a bride preparing herself for that wedding day. Get ready right now for a God encounter. Would you? Just get ready. Get ready. Be listening in your spirit, tuned to God, and cut off the static of the world and the problems and the cares that you have right now. Just tune that dial off. And tune in and zero in on, God, all I need is one word from you. That's really all I need. I need to know what you are saying to me now. That's all I need to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Okay. Now, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, God established this a church to go into deeper waters. And again, not everybody that's a Christian really wants that. But He also established this as a prophetic church. He made that clear back in 2009. This is a prophetic church. And I don't know if you know this, but one of the symbols of prophecy is an eagle. An eagle symbolizes prophecy. And as we sang about waiting up on the Lord, I'm sure you thought about maybe the eagle this morning. And in my spirit, I discerned the Lord was saying to me during worship, let the eagle fly. Let the eagle loose. Let the eagle fly. See. Let the prophecy be released over the people. And I said, oh, God, you know, that's a scary thing because there's a lot of people here that say they prophesy, and maybe they're not prophesying. That's a scary thing, God. And it's like God saying, let me take care of that. Just let me take care of that. But God, it gets messy, I know. Let me take care of that. It gets weird, I know. But let me take care of that. I know. God, don't you know this is not the way you grow a church, you know? Oh, but it is. When you let the Lord build the church the way He wants to build it, do what He wants to do with it, and so it is. So let's let the eagle loose. Prophetic words, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy that edifies, that comforts. And ask God for specifics right now. Just ask God for specifics. And then I think a little bit later on in the service, that's going to happen. Specifics. Ask God for a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is God gives you a fragment of information that's from Him, that's for somebody else, that you would not know in the natural. God's speaking to you something, and He'll use you in your mouth to speak that, sometimes a word of knowledge to people, to show them a supernatural, you know, demonstration of God's Spirit, not to entertain them, but to bring them into a greater awareness. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your life. You have not been forgotten. You've not been forsaken. He knows what's going on in your life. And sometimes that word of knowledge is a big wake-up call for us, like, wow, God, you. Like Nathaniel. Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael was so overwhelmed by that Jesus, you know, he didn't see him. He saw him before he got there in the spirit. He saw him, that he was under the fig tree, probably praying, probably talking to God. And he said, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael was so blown away by that, it just greatly encouraged his heart to follow the Lord. In the same way, God will do that to people here today who need some personal ministry. And I believe there are folks here that need personal, I believe everybody needs personal ministry. But sometimes you need it more days than others. Where you need to hear, you need to know that you know that God has heard you and He knows about your circumstances. Well, it just seems like the atmosphere is primed right now for that. So let's just do some of that. Okay. You got something, Pam? Okay, come on up. Sam and Ashley, and you got some other folks that you want to use today for call-outs. Just have them come up, and we'll explain that in a moment. Brother, do you want to be a part of this? Call-outs? Be ready. Joan, come on. Come on up. You know, all you can do is put yourself before the Lord. Come on up if you believe you want to. If you want to. If you don't want to, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I think as assistant pastor, I think God's going to give you some words to speak into people's lives. And all right, go ahead, honey.
The one verse in that song that says, take me deeper where my feet would never wander. On our own, left to ourselves, we're too scared to wander too far out. We're too scared. Just like we had our little grandson here, our grandchildren, but our littlest one, 3, he's scared to get in the pool without his floaty on. And I got in there with him, and I said, you can touch, you can walk around. I said, you can swim. I said, it's okay. Nanny will be right here. So he took it off, and he was like just so scared to take it off. And he's like his little lips just quivering. But then he realized, okay, I'm walking, and I can keep walking, and it's okay. And then he started just swimming, and he just started swimming. And he says, the whole rest of the days they were there, I know want my floaty. He just wanted to get in that pool because he realized he could walk where his feet would never have wandered before. He could do that. And as that verse, that was powerful to me because I think we're so scared. We want to stay comfortable. We don't want to get into a strange place that may make us look weird. We may fall out and lay there for who knows how long. We're scared. So I say we need to say, God, let my feet wander today where I would never wander before. Out into the deep where I have no borders, and I just have to trust you. I just have to trust you.
And let me jump in here quickly because I feel like we need to urgently move into this. My speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm reading a plaque that we placed on this pulpit years ago. But it's in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That the faith of those I preach to should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For the kingdom of God is not word only, but in power.
That's right.
So there comes a time where we stop, we let God's power flow. So Father, here you go. I ask that you would let the words that come out of our mouth be words directed by the Spirit, that you be glorified and people be helped and encouraged, helped and strengthened. So a word of knowledge, God, we're asking for words of knowledge we would not have on our own. Now, we don't normally do this for those of you who are visitors, so you think this is strange. We don't normally do this, but this is, let's just allow the Lord to work here. So quickly, I want to ask, go down through the line here. You feel like you have a word of knowledge, something that God's given you about somebody here. And be as specific as you can be and just speak it out. And if that resonates with your spirit, that's God talking to you. He read your mail today. Then just stand up where you are. Then we're going to pray for you. So quickly, since Pam, you have the microphone, quickly, do you have anything particular right at the moment?
No, I was just going to have Joan to say what.
Say quickly, honey, quickly.
Okay. What I saw was that our church has been waiting, and for 11 years now, we've been waiting. But what I saw is not a waiting, it's a waiting, W-A-D. We're waiting. We're just treading. We're waiting.
Okay.
And that's what I saw. Yeah. And we're waiting out, but we're not trusting. And what I saw was this road out here and these four lanes. This is a river. We've got to get out of the water. We've got to get a little bit deeper. We got to get out of the water because that's like a river right out there. We're going to go deeper.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Okay. If that resonates with you that God's been dealing with, that's fine. You just stand up. That's kind of a general thing.
Yes.
That would fit all of us probably. Okay. Quickly, go right on through. Who's got something here? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I don't think I'm putting you on the spot. I think we're putting the Lord not to the test, but we're allowing God to position us to release the eagle, let the eagle fly. Okay, let the eagle fly. So go ahead if you got something.
This is a word of knowledge for at least about 10 people.
Hold it close to you, brother.
And the word I'm hearing is integrity. Our Father is a Father of absolute perfect integrity. And he's asking his sons and daughters to walk in a higher level of integrity.
Amen.
But what I feel like he wants me to release this morning is I feel like there's at least 10 people here this morning that feel like their integrity's been torn down, whether it's because of their own fault or fault of others. The Lord wants you to be restored this morning. and the integrity. The negative equity is a good way of putting it that's coming your way because of walking in poor integrity, whether it's doors you've opened or whether it's things in your family line. I don't really know. He wants to restore that this morning. And if you would just raise your hand or stand just to make a declaration.
There's no condemnation here
that is,
either.
That is me. Yeah, it's this is a restorative thing. This is a good positive thing.
Healing.
And this is a loving atmosphere. So thank if you stand God. Or you raise your hand, it's not just of any account of yours.
Thank
today's
you,
your rest, day of restoration.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Anybody else?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. In the name of Jesus and the character and attributes of Christ, I declare all the negative equity that's coming your way to be canceled right now in full. There'll be no negative effect because of poor integrity, poor choices. The Lord is canceling that in His infinite and perfect mercy here this morning. I declare, Father, that your people be restored and are restored in your name, Lord. Father, they are sons and daughters of your kingdom, and they will, as of this day, walk into grace. Your grace is to walk in perfect integrity. May their yes be a yes, and may their no be a no. Father, as the intimate relationship increase now so they know what you are saying and what you are doing, so they do the exact same, Lord, and that brings integrity in itself. And remember that your Father, when he says yes, it's not just a yes. It's a yes and an amen, which means it's yes and let it be so.
Amen.
So let it be done. So thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Specifically, I believe the Lord has shown me the man sitting back there, you have a blue shirt on with stripes. I'm pointing straight at you. If you wouldn't mind, stand up. Okay, I'm releasing this by faith. The dark shirt behind you.
Okay.
I'm just releasing this by faith. The Lord showed me a picture, and I'm going to speak to you what I saw. I saw you, I believe, as a young boy in front of a house on a street bouncing a ball. You were by yourself. And I believe the Lord is wanting me to speak to that time in your life, that to let you know that he saw you. Where you felt like you were by yourself, you weren't. He wants to bring restoration to you in the area of your childhood and to know that his peace is going to be with you from this day forward. The restoration is coming. Whatever you felt you were missing, the Lord is telling you that you were never missing that, but the Lord was drawing you to him even from that young age, and to not walk in doubt or fear, but just know that restoration is yours. He wants to bring forth healing in your heart and in your mind and in the memories, and bring that joy that should have been there, that isn't, that hasn't been. But I just pray that the joy of the Lord be released upon you, restoration and strength, and that you are lacking nothing, that healing comes in your mind and your thoughts, your spirit, and that you walk from this place today totally healed in the name of Jesus and lifted. The Lord says, lift your chin, lift your head. You are his, and he has never left you, but he's saying, this day, I want to meet with you. I want to show you who I am. And specifically in specific areas, he's bringing restoration in your life. And this is for you today. Look to the Lord in all that you do. Let him bring the healing in your life. And just know that it is yours. If you say yes, it's yours, and you receive it. It's yours. He loves you.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Good. Just quickly, please. I want to go through this quickly. Just give the word.
Would you please stand up? Yes, sir.
Hold the microphone.
Would you please stand up, sir? Right here in front of me? Yes, sir.
Okay.
The Lord wants to encourage you today. He says, I have not forgotten your dreams. He says, I have not forgotten your hopes and your desires. He says, I want you to take strength in your heart now and remember that I am first your companion. I am secondly your lover. I am thirdly your strength. I am your restorer. I have not put you on the shelf. but there is a time. There's a time and a season for all things, and you are getting closer than you think. So don't let go of those dreams now. But grab them, hold on to them tight, because they are going to come to pass.
Okay, good, good, thank you. I want to hold the microphone because I want to move quickly. Just go specific as you can, okay?
Okay.
Just do what God's told you, nothing more, nothing less.
I believe that this is for the whole church.
Okay.
That the Lord is saying that the ones that want to step out of the boat and step into the deep, fear not, go ahead and step out, because I am the safety net. The Lord will be your safety net. So when you step out, don't worry, don't fear. The Lord is saying that I have double for your trouble, so fear not, step out.
Amen. Amen. That goes right along with it at the very beginning.
I feel like there's one particular person, but there's several in this audience. Kathy Rodriguez, would you stand up?
Kathy? Okay.
I feel like the Lord's trying to say to you today that you have peace over issues and situations in your life, and He really loves you. Don't ever forget that God loves you. He's holding you in every situation. And I feel like there's several people in this church who need peace over issues and things in their lives.
Absolutely.
And God will restore whatever you have an issue with. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. Good. Thank you.
Okay, when we started praying about getting a word from the Lord, I got this really strong pain on the right side of my neck that just traveled down my arm briefly. So if there's anybody in here that's been dealing with that, either physically or it may be a spiritual manifestation, I'd like to pray with you.
Mm-hmm. If that's you, just stand up quickly. Let's see where you're right, pain right down the right side of your neck. Wow, several. Yeah, my wife too. Well, I think you just need to pray with authority.
Okay. Father, we just claim your authority over this situation.
Thank
Lord.
You,
and we just ask that you show them whether it's a spiritual or a physical healing that they need, Lord. And that you'll show them, if it's spiritual, what they need to get rid of, Father God, what roots have taken hold in there, and that they need to let go of, Father God. And if it's a physical healing that needs to take place, Lord, we know that you are the healer. You are our almighty healer. And Lord, we know that you will restore whatever needs to be restored in there. And we can claim that victory in your name. We thank you, Jesus.
We bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Come on, church.
Yes.
We take the authority that Jesus has given us. And we tell you, Satan, whether it's physical or spiritual, it makes no difference to us. We bind you in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And we command you to leave these people with pains in the sides of their neck now in the name of Jesus. We declare it as a church. We declare it as one. We declare it and we believe it and we receive it by faith in the name of Jesus, the most powerful name in all the universe. And Satan, you have to flee. So get out and get off of these people in Jesus' name right now in Jesus' name. Now, we pray with authority and faith believing. And Crystal, I join with you in agreement. We prayed in agreement. Now, those of you had that pain in your neck, is there any sensation where you go, whoa, I felt the heat of the Lord, or it was gone, or something happened, lifted? Then just give God praise. Give God, come on, give Him a shout of hallelujah. We don't make it up. We just give God the praise. He revealed something and He wanted to take care of it right then for you. He didn't want you to have to wait in a prayer line. He just took care of it. And one more, pain in the right eye, like a shooting pain. And two things with that. One, you've been getting pain in the right eye and it scares you a little bit. You're wondering, what's going on? What's going on? It's a shooting pain, very painful. It comes in the right eye. If that's you, just stand up. And then also with the right eye, some blindness has come. Maybe not the same situation with some of the shooting pain, but you have blindness, or you've been given a diagnosis that where you're losing sight and it's in the right eye. If that's you, just stand up right now. Now claim your healing. Claim your healing. You claim it. Don't say, well, I hope that's me. That's not faith. You lay claim to your healing right now. I mean, take it by faith. God, thank you. You stepped into the church service today and you brought about an issue that I needed a healing. Just like Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and he walked by 100 people and he went to one man and he said, now pick up your mat and walk. Didn't even pray for him. Now I tell you, claim your healing and it's yours. Claim it. Thank God for it. He gave you a word of knowledge. Now he expects you to believe him and receive that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you notice, check your eye. If you notice a difference immediately, then give God the praise. That's a miracle. If you notice it's getting better, that's a process. That's called healing. Thank you, Lord. In either case, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the demonstration, and there's more to come that will bring glory and honor to you. This is not a show. It's not entertainment. It's a demonstration of what you said to the Apostle Paul. You wanted to demonstrate your power and your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now let's go right on into the time of offering. I believe it is, Pam. Okay. Microphone, I forget where it is. Oh, there it is over there. I left it over there. Okay. Thank you, Father. It's not on.
Hello? Okay. You remember last week I told you that I had forgotten about the mortgage and how much we had taken in. At the end of every month, that's what I want you to know. I want you to be encouraged that you're making a major difference. So I just have to let you know, it's exciting. When I looked at it again, it was like, wow, just since January. We just started our mortgage challenge to pay off Grace Tabernacle. We started that in January. And I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away when you hear how much we've given just since January. This was 5 months. This was through May. So since January, we have paid an additional $29,606.15. That's toward the principal. That's toward the principal, which over the life of the loan, just right now, will take off $58,434. That's a lot of money. That's just in 5 months. So I'm just telling you, I'm so excited just to see at the end of the year what it's going to be. I can hardly wait. But I just want you to know what you're doing is making a difference. It's just making a difference. And I want you to know that. I want to encourage your hearts with that.
That's a word of knowledge right there. I just heard that. People need to know your life is making a difference. Somebody needs to know that.
Yes. And that not just in
your
this,
life.
Your life's making a
not
difference.
Not just with money. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not here on earth for nothing. You are making a difference in someone's life, and you may not even know
Thank
it right
you.
Now. So just be encouraged in that.
Your life is
but
making a difference.
Now we're going to take up our tithes and our offerings. And as every man has purposed in his heart, let him give. So I just pray blessing on these tithes and these offerings, Lord, that they would be used for your glory, for your kingdom to come on this earth, in this place, as it is in heaven. And we thank you for your goodness, your provision for everyone here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of
Trust you without trying to understand first, you will do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We bless the children and dismiss the children to Kids Church at this time. Thank you for the children, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Terry. Today's subject is a subject you really speak to believers about. Some messages you target lost people and so forth. And most of the messages that God gives me here is to believers because the majority of people are believers. And so this obviously is a very believer-oriented message. I'm going to talk to you about sleep. I'm going to talk to you about dreams. If you happen to fall asleep while I'm preaching, I guess it would be appropriate today. And there are times when people do that, and it's simply because their body's exhausted, their soul has had so much activity, they haven't been able to sleep well, and they come into a peaceful setting, and they feel the comfort and the quiet, the static of the world's gone away, and next thing you know, they fall asleep. But I hope you don't do that, because really I have something for you that God has shared with me to share with you. We are a prophetic church. Not that every church is a prophetic church, but not every church allows the eagle to fly, so to speak. And there are times we just have to take opportunities and just kind of step out there and allow the Lord to use us in unusual ways for us. It may be a little uncomfortable, but it's in order to stretch our faith, to trust the Lord in circumstances that goes beyond our understanding. And today's subject is one of those things where a lot of people don't have understanding. I don't claim to have all understanding in this area either. But this message is about sleeping, that while you were sleeping last night in early hours this morning, even if you didn't sleep well, like I didn't sleep well last night, but even while you were sleeping, the parts that you were when you were asleep, God was at work. He was at work, and I'm going to prove that to you today. He's always at work. You think one-third of your life is spent sleeping. One-third of your life is spent sleeping. Don't you think that God has something important and valuable other than just you tuning out? I mean, he's doing something in that precious part of your life while you are sleeping that you are not even aware of, and maybe later on you become aware of. Now, the Bible has lots to say about sleep. Sleep is important, but you can sleep too much. Job 20:13 says, "Do not love sleep lest you come to poverty." Don't love to sleep too much. You can sleep too much. But it also says that God gives his beloved sleep. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's interesting. The Amplified Version says that God gives his beloved even in their sleep. In New American Standard says it that way too, that God gives his beloved even in their sleep. In other words, it's like even while you are sleeping, God's doing something. He's imparting something to you. He's doing something in your life and in the area of your soul. Now, I believe that Satan tries to steal your sleep. He knows that you live in a body that it requires sleep. And so Satan tries to wear us down. Tries to wear us out. Daniel talks about that's what he does in the end times. There's going to be so much demonic activity and so many things going on in our lives that Satan's scheme is to wear down the saints so that the enemy has an easier attack against us. So Satan tries to steal your sleep, tries to wear you down, and he does that through fear, through worry, through trouble, anxiety, even affecting your body. Do you know that during your sleep, your body heals itself? God put healing inside you. Your body automatically heals itself. You cut your skin and it begins immediately to repair it. But you have to have the right amount of sleep and proper sleep, because much of the healing of your physical body comes while you were sleeping. So God's healing you even while you sleep. You know that people that are sleep deprived, they don't heal as fast as those who get the proper amount of sleep. During sleep, scientists have discovered that the brain dumps all kinds of brain clutter, like a computer defrags and gets rid of unnecessary information, unnecessary files. Your brain also has to have that time where it defrags, so to speak. And if you don't sleep properly and let your brain and your body heal itself, people say, the scientists say that people who are sleep deprived lose about 38% of their memory capacity because they're tired. They're just exhausted. And sometimes our sleep habits are interrupted by age. As we get older, we don't sleep as deep as usually we, like a little child can just fall asleep and not know anything going on around it. And hormones are a factor as well that affect your sleep. And so another factor, though, besides the natural, is the spiritual realm. Your spirit picks up on things in the spiritual atmosphere around you while you're sleeping. And some of that can be good and some of it can be bad. You know, cities have a spiritual atmosphere. I don't know if you've been aware, but sometimes when you're driving and you're coming into a city that maybe you've never been in before, your spirit can pick up on the atmosphere of that city. Is it predominantly, you know, a city that the houses of God or the churches are strong in prayer and spiritual and being effective? Or is it more darkness and evil and principalities prevailing over certain areas? Certain cities have characteristics and labels put on them, like, a you know, known for a high rate of murder or high rate of sexual crime or whatever. And these are spiritual atmospheres that your spirit picks up on. When you go into a hotel room, your spirit can pick up on things you can't see. You may not know it in your mind, but your spirit is picking up on the atmosphere that's been going on in that room, see. And maybe even demonic spirits are still in that area, you know, hovering around because of activity. And so I suggest, if you're a believer, when you go in that hotel room or whatever, take authority over that thing. I said, I paid money for this room tonight, and as long as I'm here, I bind every demonic spirit. You have no authority here as long as I'm here. And even take an oil and anoint that room and anoint your home. And if you're having sleep issues at home, sometimes ask the Lord. It could be a spiritual thing and not just an age thing or a hormone thing or, you know, things troubling in your soul. It could be a spiritual thing. One of my favorite scriptures or stories is about Jesus when he was asleep on the boat during the middle of the storm. I'm just fascinated by that. That Jesus had such peace that in the middle of what the sailors thought was a life-threatening storm, Jesus is asleep. How in the world could he sleep through something like that? And I've seen some pictures, and I don't know whether it's true or not, where Jesus is in the back of the boat and the waves and stuff are washing around him. I'm thinking, who could sleep through anything like that? And I don't know if that's an accurate picture, if Jesus maybe was inside the bottom of the boat sleeping. I don't know. But my point is this, that Jesus had incredible peace when everybody else was panicking. And in fact, they probably had a discussion. Should we go down and tell Jesus to get up because we're afraid the storm's going to, you know, prevail and we're going to be sunk? He did say we're going to go to the other side, but, you know, this storm's really bad. Should we go? Or no, I don't know. We should bother him. Yeah, I think we should. And then it gets bad enough where they say, yeah, we need to bother him because this really looks bad. And they go down there and they wake Jesus up, and he goes out, and it's fascinating to me that he says, peace, be still, with authority, peace, be still. And it wasn't gradual, like, okay, it stopped raining and the wind died down. It was instant. It was gale force winds, and in an instant, when he spoke, the water was flat. And the guys were so startled by that, as any of us would be, they were wondering, what type of man is this? And then he turned around to them, and as if They should have known better, because they'd just seen miracles, signs, and wonders that he'd done, and they're followers of Jesus. And he said to them, where is your faith? I feel like the Lord says that to me a lot. Where's your faith? What are you panicking for? What are you worried of? What are you troubled? Where is your faith? But God, the storm's going on. The wind is howling and the lightning is flashing, and God, it's scary out here. Where's your faith? And I just absolutely love that particular picture because I can see the movie in my mind. And I want to tell you that I believe that the greatest storms we face are more internal than they are external. Oh, I think they're much larger on the inside than they are on the outside. Worry that keeps you up all night long. Fear, what's going to happen or what may happen or what if this so-and-so happens. Things about the future, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? And then doubt. And then Satan uses all of these things to flood our soul, especially at nighttime, because that's when you're vulnerable. You're tired. You need to lay down. You need to get sleep. And Satan will come in and invade during the night while you're trying to sleep. And you may need to do what Jesus did, and that is stand up and rebuke the storm internally, externally in your area, and say, peace be still. And I love what Jesus did. He got up and rebuked the storm. He got onto the disciples in a loving way, but he said, where is your faith? And then he went back to sleep. I love that. We should do the same. That's our model. That's our example. Okay, if you're being troubled by something, a tormenting thought or whatever, take authority over that thing and say, Lord, I've already given this to you. I'm cast this care upon you. I'm not carrying it any longer. Satan's trying to remind him of it, remind me of it. So I tell Satan, shut your mouth, be still, be quiet, and go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. Just go to sleep. And I think that's it's a spiritual thing, and I've never realized it until preparing for this message, that how spiritual sleep is, because it involves something that God wants to do in our lives every single night. That is to bring us to a place of encounter. Between 12 and 2, you supposedly have shorter dreams. And your dreams are bursts of thoughts, emotions, could be sparked from physical pain in your body, could be parts of what you dealt with the day before or during the day. And it's all this energy that's coming through the brain and through the spirit. So when it's from the Lord, or if it's demonic, it's just the enemy trying to suggest thoughts to you. But between 12 and 2 o'clock, midnight to 2 a.m. in the morning, they say you have shorter dreams. You know, your dream may be a minute. It may be 2 or 3 minutes. It may be seconds. But between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., your dreams are longer. It may last an hour or longer. That's the fourth watch. The fourth watch is when Jesus walked on the water. There's something very spiritual about the fourth watch. When in that time, there's a lot of that spiritual activity between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And much of that time, I want to tell you that I believe this is when God does his best work. When we're finally in deep enough sleep, we won't interrupt what he wants to do. Dreams in the Bible, oh, there's a ton of stuff in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. Beginning in the New Testament, Acts 2:17, the Bible says that your young men will have visions and your older men will dream dreams. It's a sign of the end times, that dreaming activity, God's going to speak through dreams in the last days in a greater way. And we are in those last days. Jacob in the Bible was a dreamer, had the dream of the ladder and the angels coming down back and forth. Joseph, his son, was a dreamer, had lots of prophetic dreams about the future, Genesis 37. God even spoke to lost people like Pharaoh and King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't know the Lord, but God warned them and spoke to them about the future through dreams, warning them of the future and telling them about the future. Daniel in the Old Testament, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were given special ability, but Daniel even more so than they, to be able to interpret dreams. Unique ways, God, and tell people the meaning of their dreams. Joseph was that way as well.
Even in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary, with the baby Jesus, Joseph was warned in a dream. He was visited by an angel in a dream. This was an encounter. And he was warned to take the baby Jesus and Mary down into Egypt for a season, and he did so and protected their life. God is not limited to speaking to you from a pulpit or a Bible. He speaks to you primarily through his Spirit to your spirit. And one of those ways I want you to start thinking about is the one-third of your life that is spent sleeping. Now, spiritual dreams from the Lord contain symbolism, and this symbolism often relates to you. So you have to be very careful when someone tells you a dream they had and you say, well, this means this and this means that. Well, it may not, because the specific symbols in someone's dream relates to something that they would be familiar with. God knows how to speak our language, see. And he'll use symbols that may not interpret, that may not mean the same thing in somebody else's dream. So you have to be very careful with that and be led by the Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, it's interesting that King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a pagan, he worshiped, I don't know if he worshiped anything, but he had all these kind of idols and idolatry around him and stuff like that, and believed in probably many gods. He had a spiritual dream, and it startled him. And this dream was from God. And he called what he called his wise men, which they were nothing more than, you know, magicians involved in the occult. And he had had them in there, and they came before him, and he says, I want you to tell me my dream and the meaning of my dream. And they said, well, we'll be glad to. This is what we specialize in. Just tell us your dream, and we'll tell you what it means. And this time, Nebuchadnezzar got wise to these guys. I think he had some suspicions about them. He said, no, I'll tell you, this is how it's going to happen. I'm not even going to tell you the dream. If you're so wise, you tell me the dream I had, and then you tell me the meaning of it, and I'll know you're real. And they said, oh, now, wait a minute. Your Majesty, there's nobody on earth that does it that way. That's not how dream interpretation works. You haven't been to class like we have. We know how this thing works. That's not how it works. You got to tell us the dream, and then we'll be happy to tell you. He said, no. You tell me what I dreamed, or else it's off with your head. And Daniel heard about this. And Daniel had been known for probably interpreting some dreams of people. And the king gets wind of this man in his kingdom called Daniel, that was one of the captives that came out of Jerusalem, a Jew. And so he said, well, I'd like to meet him. So Daniel comes before King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the world leader at that time. And the king tells him, well, I hear you can interpret dreams. Well, I'll tell you what. You tell me what I dreamed, and you tell me the interpretation, and I'll make you a rich man, and I'll give you all kinds of honor. And Daniel said, well, you just give me some time, Your Majesty. Give me some time. Let me pray to my God and see if he will reveal to me the dream. Some time goes by. Daniel comes back in. God had graciously given Daniel the dream as well as the interpretation. And Daniel comes in and tells the king, Your Majesty, here is your dream. And he began to tell him about the image that he saw, the colors that he saw, and began to tell him all the details of his dream. And I imagine the king is sitting on his throne with his mouth on the jaw on the floor going, whoa, this is not just an average guy. This guy is something really special. The gods must live in him or something. And then he began to tell him the interpretation of the dream. Told him exactly what it meant. Again, the king's jaws on the floor. And the king brings in all kinds of honor instantly, brings in money, and Daniel gets promoted to a high position in the government of Nebuchadnezzar. In one moment, suddenly things change in his life, and Daniel makes sure, now hold on, king, hold on, Your Majesty. This is not me. He says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And I present to you that same God's alive today. Amen. He wants to reveal some mysteries that you're dealing with. There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Have you ever known something before it happened and yet you wonder, how did I know that? Have you ever been somewhere before and you feel like, well, I think I've been here before. Or how did I know you were going to say that? And I want to present to you that there is an answer in the Word of God. Or have you ever heard something over and over? Maybe it was a phrase, or maybe it was a word, or maybe it was a scripture, and you keep hearing it everywhere you go. You hear it over and over. That word just keeps cropping up in conversations or what have you. And maybe it was something someone said, or just a phrase or whatever, and you say, how did I know that word? How did I know that sentence really means something, that somehow God has been speaking to me this word? How do I know these things? And I present to you the answer is found in Job 33, verses 14 through 16. In Job 33, I want to lay the context out very clearly. This is not God speaking. But I believe that it's God speaking through someone we would call an enemy of God. The strange thing about this is Elihu, who is not a friend of God. He's not really a friend of Job's. And Elihu is speaking, and he's really been an accuser of Job. And I said several weeks ago that I believe Elihu is a type of Satan. And here he is, and he's saying something, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take that right there out of your mouth and put it in my book, because it's a truth I want people to grab hold of. And so he is revealing something, what the ancients knew to be true. And so here is Elihu, and he's speaking, and look at what he says in Job 33, verse 14. God speaks once or twice, and yet no one notices it. Another version, Amplified, says, for God does reveal his will. He speaks not only once, but more than once, even though men do not regard it, including you, Job. See, actually, Elihu was accusing Job of not paying attention to God. He was pointing his finger at Job and saying, God has spoken to you. He's spoken to you more than once, and you don't even realize it. Job, you don't even realize God's talking to you. And I present to you that the Holy Spirit took the words of Elihu, who was an accuser of Job, and he turned them around and he used them to speak to all of us, saying, God is speaking to everybody more than once, and men don't pay attention. You know, God can speak to you through a lost person. God can speak to you through a donkey. Hee-haw. He can speak to you through anybody, through anything, anywhere, at any time. And I present to you, he has been speaking to us. And we're not paying attention like we should. And then he goes on to reveal what the ancients knew in verse 15. He says, in a dream. God speaks to you in a dream, a vision of the night. When sound sleep falls upon men while they slumber in their beds. People say, I don't dream. Oh, yes, you do. If you didn't dream, you'd be dead. You dream every single night. You just don't know you dream. You don't remember your dreams, most of them. Either because you don't need to know them or because they are instructions for later. People say they believe in deja vu. You know, I've been here before, or something happened. No, we're not teaching that by any means. When you say, oh, I've lived this before, I've been here before. Well, maybe you did, but it was in a dream, and God visited you. It's not deja vu, it's Yeshua. See, he's way ahead of you. So don't say deja vu, just say Yeshua. Yes, sir. That's God. He's visited you. In Psalm 16, verse 7 says, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. Go ahead and put that up, please. Psalm 16, verse 7. I'm going to give people scriptures. They need to have them so they can write them down. My heart instructs me in the night seasons. God's talking to us even while we're sleeping. One version says of that same verse, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, he instructs me in the night seasons. By the way, did you know that with God, a new day always starts in the evening, not the morning? The Bible says in Genesis 1:15, and that God creates all creation, and he creates every day. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Next scripture, Genesis 1:5. The evening and the morning. See, the day begins in the evening with God. So while you're sleeping, God's working, preparing you for your next day. God prepares us for our future through our sleep. The Quakers coined a phrase that said, they said, just sleep on it. Just sleep on it. Believing that if you take an issue to bed with you, a problem that needs to be solved or a concern that you have, you take it to bed with you. In other words, during the night, God will guide you to the solution that he wants you to have. You sleep on it. In Job 33, verse 16, he goes on to say, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. When? In their sleep. He opens the ears of men during their sleep and seals. Everybody say seals their instructions. The seal is a picture of maybe a Ziploc bag or like a canning jar that, you know, you put that seal on the top of those green beans or whatever you're canning there to keep anything from getting in. God seals up instructions in your spirit in the nighttime because you're saving it for later. You don't need to know right now, but you'll need to know this later. So he's sealing up instructions in your sleep and saving this important information, revelation, or whatever it is God's given you for later while you were sleeping. Now, why does God give us these dreams and we just don't remember it when we wake up in the morning most of the time? Well, verse 17 gives you the reason. Verse 17 says, to keep a man from pride. To keep a man from pride. In other words, God deposits things in us while we're asleep that if we were awake and we had that thought, we might think, boy, I am really smart. I figured it out. I am a really intelligent person, no. And God does these things. He puts things in us in our spirit while we're sleeping that we don't even know, and he keeps it from us until we need to know. Then he unseals it. I want to present to you that I think some of God's best work is done while we're at rest, while we're asleep. A classic example of this in the Old Testament is Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham he's called to be the father of faith. He's the one that's learning to walk by faith, and he's our example, the Bible tells us. Abraham, he's learning to walk with God by faith. He's learning to obey God without understanding first. Same thing you and I have to learn to do. We have to learn to obey God without understanding why before we do it. How would you like it if your child kept coming up to you asking after you gave them instructions, now you go clean your room, and they come up to you and say, well, now why? It's just going to get dirty again. Well, come to dinner. But why? I'm not really hungry right now. I can eat later. Now get out there and pick up the toys in your yard. Well, why? Because I'm going to go back out later on and play. How would you deal with that? I know how you deal with that. By your laugh, I can tell, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that one, you know. And I think the Father, he gives us instructions, and he wants us to learn to walk by faith in him without asking why. See, we want to know why before we do it. And many times the answer to why doesn't happen until after you've obeyed God. You see, amen or oh me. Here's Abraham. He's the father of the faith. He's learning to walk by faith. And God begins to tell Abraham things because he obeyed him. First of all, he left his country not knowing where he was going. He's learned to obey God to a point. And now God meets him at a place. And he says, now, Abraham, I'm going to tell you some things. And what I'm about to tell you is so far-fetched, your mind can't wrap around it. It's too good for your understanding. It's beyond what you could comprehend. But I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless your socks off. And so what I want to do with you so that you can know that what I'm saying to you is true, I want to cut a covenant with you. And Abraham understood that cutting a covenant with somebody was the same as, you know, swearing an oath that you'll die before you not obey what you've said or not honored your word. So God says to Abraham, now I'm going to cut a covenant with you. You go get these certain animals, and you cut some of them in half, and you lay them out over here on this altar. And that was the typical way of how you cut a covenant. You walk between these animals basically saying, may the same thing happen to me that happened to these animals if I don't honor my word to you. God wants you to believe his word. And he tells Abraham, now this is what I've done. I've cut a covenant with you. And about the time he had these animals laid out, it says birds of prey, probably vultures and buzzards, were swooping down trying to get these animals. And Abraham had to scare them away. Get out of here. Get out of here. And then God did the strangest thing. It says when evening came, a great darkness fell upon him when the sun was going down. And that's not talking about the sun going down. A great darkness is talking about he put Abraham in a deep coma-like sleep. He didn't want Abraham to mess things up in his covenant. So he puts Abraham out in a deep, deep sleep. And this word, great darkness, fell upon him, are the same words that God used when he says he made Adam fall into a deep sleep before he took the rib out and made Eve. And so it's a deep, deep sleep, and he's anesthetized by the Spirit of God. And then he has an encounter with God during this sleep when God told him about destiny that was so great and so far beyond Abraham's comprehension. Abraham wouldn't have comprehended it had he been awake. He says, I'm going to give you your descendants as far as the star, as many of the stars of the sky. I'm going to give you this land from here to the Euphrates River. I'm doing all this in you, Abraham, and it's me doing it, not you. He had to put him to sleep so he wouldn't mess it up. We say, whoa, no, wait a minute, God. How do I know you're going to? No. He put him to sleep, and he put destiny in him to believe far beyond what the human mind could have comprehended. God puts destiny in us. He puts dreams in us while we're sleeping, greater than what we could come up with on our own. Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me in the night seasons. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I say all that to end up quickly here, and I want to have time at the altar for prayer. I want to say that we need to give the night back to God. That's the beginning of your day. Give the night back to God. 1/3 of your life on earth is during sleep. God is at work even while you're sleeping, and our part is to return to this place of rest called faith. In other words, we expect to encounter God in our sleep, and we may not even know it. We may not remember it. But we expect God to counsel us in the night. But what is our part in this, God? Our part is to have absolute faith that comes to the point of where we rest with God. And I want to present to you that I believe Satan is his greatest work is to get us out of the place of rest, out of the place of faith, out of the place of peace. Satan is trying to cause so much turmoil in our soul and our mind that we focus on all this external stuff or maybe it's internal storms, and instead of focusing on the Lord and believing that, God, you have heard my request. You know my cares. I can lie down in peace tonight and sleep, knowing that my life is in your hands. My circumstances, my family, my children, I've laid them on your altar. My finances, my health, my future, my destiny. I can rest knowing it's in your hands, and I return to rest, oh my soul. And we're to live that way, not just at night when we go to sleep, but if you're having trouble with sleep disorders and so forth, and that's a big deal today. Some of it may be age. Yes, we have to deal with that. I don't sleep as good as I used to when I was younger. Some of it may be hormones, but it can be spiritual. Some of it is just a lot of spiritual chatter that's going on around you to try to wear you down and get you in trouble or fear or worry, static from the demonic world. And no matter what you're going through on the outside, you and I, our responsibility is to bring ourselves back into rest with the Lord. Yes, there's a storm brewing. Yes, we need to prepare and do some. Yes, it's not being passive, but I'm resting on the inside while the storm's going on the outside. Even to the point where I can lay down and sleep when nobody else can. That's supernatural. Now, you may need to bind the devil in Jesus' name and say, I give the night back to you, Lord. You may need to cleanse your home, according to Acts 19:19. That is, go through and let the Holy Spirit lead you to cleanse your home of things in your home that should not be. Movies and music and things on the computer and things on television. Things you need to get rid of because it's like drawing rats to your home. You got garbage that needs to go. And so we need to cleanse this place. So your soul needs to dump a lot of clutter. Not your spirit, but your soul. So that your body can finally relax. You can say, peace, be still. And tell those voices, be quiet. Worry. Fear. Hush, be still. They will obey you. You have authority in the name of Jesus. It's called resting in the Lord. It's called casting your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Last week, I asked Brother Sam Griner, I said, do you see anything, you know, prophetically going on? He sees a lot of things in the Spirit. And he said to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, he said, yeah, I see here between here and the altar, like people coming up dumping a lot of their garbage. And then, you know, it doesn't look good. Garbage doesn't look good, doesn't smell good at first. But he says, God wants them to dump their garbage. And through time, you know, garbage like fear, worry, whatever it is. Through time, that garbage changes into compost. And that turns into very rich soil. The kind that you can now plant seeds in. Oh, man, look out. That's Miracle-Gro seed right there. And it's going into good ground that has been, it's been seasoned. There's been a lot of tears and a lot of heartache and a lot of stress, a lot of worry. Oh, yeah, but that's all been worked in by the Holy Spirit. And he's turned that into really, really, really good soil. All your failures, even your sin. And it turns into rich, rich soil. And now he says, now we're ready to plant. So we had to prepare the soil. Maybe most of your life, God's been just preparing the soil for what he's about to plant. And what he's going to plant this time, oh my. People are going to come around and say, how did that grow so fast? What kind of soil do you have? I said, oh, brother, that's costly soil. It's 40 years worth of heartache and trouble and disappointment and failure and everything. It's all mixed in together, and God made good come out of it. It's supernatural. You can't go buy this at Walmart. No. This comes out of life experiences. So this is what God wants to do. Pastor, you don't know how serious my problems are. That's true. I don't. But there's a God in heaven. He knows what he's doing. I don't know how long your trial is going to go on. I don't know how long my test is going to, but I do know this, that if we'll give it to God at this altar, he'll turn it into rich, rich soil. See? And it won't be in vain that you waited on the Lord. It won't be in vain that you kept believing and you haven't seen anything happen yet. It won't be in vain that you spent your whole life. And then in one day, one word from God's all you need, and he planted that seed in your heart, and you've seen it come to pass in us suddenly. There is a supernatural rest for the people of God, and you have a right to it if you're born again. You have a right to this. You have a right to believe that God's going to use all the garbage in your life and turn it around and make something rich come. You have a right to believe that. That's your inheritance. You have a right to that. You have a right to be able to sleep at night and know that when you sleep, even though you may not remember it at this moment, you are having an encounter with Almighty God. And you have a right and authority to bind Satan from your home. You have a right and authority to take thoughts captive. You have a right and authority to healing. You have a right and an authority to walk in the authority that God's given you to be like Jesus and be able to calm the storms and the internal storms as well as the external storms and be able to sleep when nobody else can. You have a right to those things in the name of Jesus. So I present to you today to think about, consider, meditate on while you are sleeping. God, you were really up to something. You may not know it today. You may not know it to a few days later. You may not know it to a years later. But you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it, because God puts destiny and dreams in you to be fulfilled. To be fulfilled. He doesn't put a dream in you to make you hope and then your hopes are shattered. God gives you a dream, it's because he's intending on fulfilling it, and it's going to be supernatural. Not even dependent upon you, God will do it. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give the night back to God right now. Just right now, before night comes, just say it with your mouth. I give the night back to you, Lord. I expect an encounter with you. I expect dreams to increase, visions to increase, prophecy to increase in my life. I expect to walk a supernatural life that defies any explanation on this earth other than it has to be God. There's a God in heaven who does these things. I want my life to demand an explanation. I want people to look at me and say, how are you able to do these things? And I don't even have an explanation other than it's the Lord. How did you know this? How are you able to speak this? How did you preach this sermon and know it was just for me? God, that's what we want. We want the supernatural demonstration of your presence in our lives, not to entertain people, not to entertain ourselves, but to be who you've called us to be. Supernatural. No explanation but God in heaven. Now, Lord, we come to this time to lay hands on the sick and see them healed and recover. We come to lay hands on those having sleep disorders. And we ask you for discernment, Lord, on how to pray. We ask, God, that you would also lead us to bind the enemy where the enemy's at work and set captives free. Those who are being tormented by demons with nightmares, panic attacks. It is what it is because it is an attack of the enemy. But we have authority over that because God is I am who I am. And we're going to let God be God. Now, I want you to, the altar workers, just come get in place. We're going to pray over people. We're going to be the hands of Jesus. And I say to you, the authority of Jesus' name, believers, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Have confidence. Any demon begins to manifest itself, take authority over it in Jesus' name. And if there's someone here today who's not been born again, this is your day. God has great destiny for you, and it's supernatural, but you need to answer the call to receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I ask you to get out of your seat and come forward right now. Be the first one. You know God's talking to you. Get saved. Get born again. Get your sins forgiven. Be filled with the Spirit. Be willing to repent of all things that you know are not pleasing to God and be able to stand before God and say, Lord, I present myself to you. You take my life. Save me. Be my Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life. God will give you the grace to do it. Come quickly if that's you. If that's you, come quickly. And others of you, come. The communion tables will be open on both sides. If you're having sleep disorders, especially, come forward. Say, pray for me. These people will discern, and the Lord will lead them to pray. They may give you a prophetic word. It may be something you need to do in your home, but God will lead. Don't wait any longer. Just move. Just begin to move. Be
Begin to move. Let the Spirit lead you. Thank you, Father, for what you're about to do. Thank you, Lord. I bind Satan, who would try to hold people back from help, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the liberty of the Lord in this place to walk on the water to do the supernatural. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You will do it, Lord. You will do it, Lord. Dreams and visions be multiplied in your life. Your ears be open to hear the direction of God and recognize that He's been talking to you all along. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Find rest.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.